Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, good morning to you. Glad you're with us. It is a Thursday morning, the 16th day of January. That means T-minus 4 days and about 4 hours until the, or 6 hours, I should say, until Donald Trump takes over in the United States. In the meantime, Lord knows what Joe Biden's got in store for us next after his dark speech last night at the White House, at which we believe was recorded, as opposed to the scene where, you know, you see the president, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, you're live, Mr. President. But we don't think it was live. We don't think they could trust Joe to get through that. Interesting hearings yesterday in the Pam Bondi case. I'm going to play you a bite from that here in a minute. But John Kennedy made a good point. He's like, we have potentially opened up a Pandora's box in the United States, and it's Merrick Garland and Joe Biden's fault for going after their political, using the Department of Justice to go after their political opponents, or using the justice system to go after their political opponents. And he said, I foresee a time when there's going to be a prosecutor somewhere in America who decides we need to. Go after Biden or his senior staff or whoever deceived America for 3 years or 4 years over his mental state. I mean, could you see something like that? Was it who knew? What did you know? When did you know it? Kind of question. I don't know if that's a thing or not, but his point in all of this was there may be a desire here for revenge of some sort, but we need to not go down that path. We need to take the high road on this. Just because the other side did it doesn't mean we need to do it. And I thought that was probably some of the more refreshing language I heard yesterday. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't need a strong attorney general who's going to weed out biased prosecutors in the department and biased people at the top of the FBI who clearly have infiltrated key positions and are pushing nonsense. But it does mean that as a attorney general, she probably doesn't need to go out seeking charges against people just because they are the political opponents of Donald Trump. It was John Kennedy who said that. We're going to get to more on that for you coming up here. We got Tom Ackerman at the bottom of the hour to talk more about Mizzou And their big win on the road to Florida got a lot of the people chattering. Are they going to be ranked when the next polls come out? That's a good question. We'll get to Tommy at about 6:35 this morning, right before In Other News. But first, Carl, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Number one, this is America. That had never happened before in America. That's the sort of thing that happens in a country whose Powerball jackpot is 287 chickens and a goat.
as only John Kennedy can say it, that's some third world stuff when you go after your political opponents.
Today, an oligarchy is taking shape in America of extreme wealth, power, and influence that literally threatens our entire democracy, our basic rights and freedoms.
Anybody buy in what Joe Biden was selling last night? That's my question. Who is this? What is the definition there? This oligarchy that's growing. Is he trying to suggest it's Donald Trump and Elon Musk, the evil one, who only has slightly more money than George Soros, who completely funded the Democrats in the last election cycle? What's he talking about?
It is not part of the city's general practice to salt and plow side streets, but when there's a storm like this, the city needs to be nimble enough to find the solutions that their residents need.
Woo, yeah, baby. The local media, I mean, it's taken them 11 days, but they're out doing the story now on frustrations growing about South City side streets 9 or 10 days after a snowstorm.
While we have followed the city's existing playbook for responding to winter storms with street department crews pulling long hours, this weather calls for a change in tactic.
Yes, it does. Oh, and did I mention I'm running for re-election? So Mayor Tishara Jones there, who I have invited on this show in the past and who's never taken us up on the offer, she got some questions to answer, I think, right? I mentioned this the other day. They used to have a streets director named Todd Walterman. I covered him for many years when I worked at Channel 4. Great guy. But we never had these. We didn't have these kind of complaints. Like, it didn't last this long. And then yesterday, I got on social media. I don't know who had it. It might have been Jane Duker. I can't swear to that. But somebody shared a video of somebody ice skating down their street, like on ice, ice skates.
Oh, yeah. I saw that video.
So, you know it's bad, and you got people who, if they can get their car out of their parking space, because many people park on the street, right, Carl? And if you can...
Well, unless you have a garage.
And if you can get your car out of your park, well, then you got the alley problem.
Yeah, and that's worse.
Do they shovel the alleys?
No.
No, of course not. Then you've got to figure out how to get to the end of the street without sliding into your neighbor's car. It's a problem. And here's what Mayor Jones had to say about it. This is the epiphany she had. Go to cut 20, please.
While we have followed the city's existing playbook for responding to winter storms with street department crews pulling long hours, this weather calls for a change in tactics. Our plow trucks are huge, and in the past, the city has not plowed residential streets in order to avoid damaging cars and potentially burying them. Simply put, it could make matters worse. So be on the lookout for smaller trucks from multiple city divisions dropping salt onto residential streets, in addition to our street department snow plows treating wider residential streets where they can fit.
Channel 5 did a good job covering the story because, you know, Bethany Williams, the new streets director, or current streets director, I should say, she took some heat from residents at the board meeting last night, and rightfully so. And one of the questions, Channel 5 has a list of questions that were asked, and then they have Williams' response. And one of the questions is, should the streets department have pre-treated? And her response was, quote, salting in advance wouldn't have helped because of the rain. And then Channel 5 does asterisks. Am I saying that right?
Yes.
Okay. It's a hard word to say. Has weather note. There was no rain with this system. It was sleet and snow in the city of St. Louis.
Yes.
That's funny. I mean, it's true. It was not rain.
There
was
no rain.
It was freezing rain. And I would argue that pre-treating the roads would have helped with that.
It also doesn't work if it's too cold. And that might have been what she was saying, not giving her the benefit of the doubt. But sometimes that stuff doesn't work when it was cold, and it was cold.
But it was in the 20s, but it wasn't in the teens. It's usually it has to be below a certain degree when it becomes less effective. But if you know in advance that you're not going to scrape the streets because you can't get one of your big trucks in there, at least put down liquid something or rock salt or something ahead of time. That would have decreased the severity of the problem. They need to change their whole mindset about this as opposed to coming out 10 days afterwards because they were really hoping it would warm up sooner and it didn't. And now they're deciding to go out and salt and sand some of the trucks, which must have been what Andy
when
Banker encountered
the other day. When it's going to be 45 degrees.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they'll take credit for it. They'll say, well, it's because we were out there salting with our smaller trucks.
Yep.
They was pitiful. I even commented on her little Instagram video that clearly required many takes because you could tell how edited it was.
I heard three.
And scripted. And I said, why did other cities seem to figure it out? Everyone but you guys.
People are ripping her up and down because somebody's been sharing a picture of the street corner in North City. I don't know where it is exactly, where her dad lives, Fervis Jones. And that's clean as a whistle. Now, for all I know, he lives on a main thoroughfare and it's always scraped. I don't know the circumstances, but every time you see a post about this, somebody includes that picture in it and says, well, at least your dad doesn't have to worry about it. The rest of us do. I don't know. Do they change policy going forward, or is it just because it's convenient during an election cycle? Here's what they're banking on, and Carl mentioned it a minute ago. It's going to be 45 on Friday, and it's going to rain. So that's going to take care of most of the problem, and then they can just shove it in the background and not worry about it again for a few years till we get another snow like that. The question is going to be, how do they react next time, right? All right, let's get to a quick break here. Hey, what in the world is going on with the Obamas? Obama, what is going on with the Obamas? Michelle is nowhere to be seen. It's leading to lots of speculation about what's going on. We'll get to all that and more for you when we come back.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If you're feeding a person a crap sandwich with a smile, it's still a crap sandwich.
Yep, this is a true fact. So, Kim, we talked about this a little bit yesterday. Remind me, what was the substance they just banned in food? What was it, a
red
dye?
Red dye number three.
Number three. And that triggered a memory for me. Can I just tell you that? Because I'm thinking to myself, back in the 1970s, I remember that my dad's mom, her favorite dessert to make was red velvet cake. She thought that was the greatest thing ever. And I'll never forget, and now I go back and look at it, and it was 1971 or 72, the government came out and banned red dye number two, which was the food coloring used to make this red velvet cake, because government officials concluded that it contained some sort of a cancer risk. They claimed that it caused cancer in rats, and people were concerned about it. So they banned it back in the early 70s, which like M&M's stopped making red M&M's for like 10 years after that, and then finally reintroduced them, I'm assuming with red dye number three, which we've now banned.
You're saying that was basically what came out of the ban from red dye number two?
Yeah, it had to be. The next one was called red dye number three. Now they banned that one.
They banned it from our cosmetics years ago, 35 years ago. I don't know what the heck took them this long to ban it from our food?
You could eat it, just not put it on your
skin. Oh, yeah. Well, you know.
Yeah, so you can ingest it that way, but not on your skin. That makes perfect sense.
I just had to point. I was trying to remember yesterday why that sounded so familiar, and then I thought, you know, I remember my grandmother being upset about that, and then I remembered that it was red dye number two. So maybe next we get red dye number four, and that's okay.
I'm sure it's coming. I mean, and there's so many other harmful chemicals. There's so many dyes in food. It's not just red dye number three. So it's a step in the right direction, but we have a lot of work to do still.
All right. So there are eight synthetic dyes left.
Oh.
There's blue number one, blue two, citrus red two, green three, orange B, red three that's just been banned, red 40, yellow number five, which I have actually heard of.
Yes.
And yellow number six.
Just numbers.
How about just no chemicals in our food?
There you go. I think that might work. That might work. Hey, so Monday is the inauguration, of course. I'm planning to be there in the audience, and I've got my tickets confirmed to the inauguration. But I thought I was going to get to go to one of the balls. That deal is apparently not going to happen. I'm very disappointed about that. But we were working on it, and now I don't think that's going to happen. But regardless, you know who wasn't at Jimmy Carter's funeral?
Oh, I noticed.
Michelle Obama.
Yeah.
Right? And everybody thought, well, you know, her mother just died. She's grieving. She's still back on Hawaii, enjoying the sun. She was on vacation. Didn't want to fly all the way back. Now, Barry did. Barry came back and ended up sitting next to Donald Trump, which made some headlines, right? Well, now, apparently Barry's planning on attending the inauguration, but Michelle's not. So are you starting to see a pattern here? Some people are starting to see a pattern here. Her defenders are saying, well, you know, just because she's got some standards and, you know, she missed the funeral, but it was just too soon after her mother's death. And now she just doesn't want to be there when a convicted felon is inaugurated.
Mm-mm,
I saw yesterday on social media. The speculation is that the Obamas may be having marital problems.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that I buy that.
I could see it. There was a rumor, I mean, this has been going on for a while, but that Barack Obama was having an affair with Jennifer Aniston. I'm not sure I buy that. But there is something weird that the fact that she wasn't at Jimmy Carter's funeral, she was the only one, the only first lady. Former first lady to not attend.
Well, yeah. Trump didn't go to Biden's inauguration either. So
I don't know.
There's because of marital problems.
There's just something weird.
He's
going on.
He's got other issues.
Got 99 problems, but marital issues isn't
He's
one of them.
Not one. Yes.
I don't know. It's weird to me that she just suddenly decide she's not. I bet Hillary will be there. Hillary and Bill will be there. She'll be staring at him to see if he's looking at Melania again the wrong way.
And she was at Trump's at first
yes,
one.
Yes, she was. She'll be there again, I think. All right, coming up, Tom Ackerman on the Big Mizzou Road Win. Stay tuned.
A great sports mind like Tom Ackerman.
Baseball's really not a hard sport.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
It's like powered by coffee this morning.
Sports, sponsored by McDonald's, reminding you to round up your total for Ronald McDonald House Charities on your next order.
Tom Ackerman in studio with us this morning. And Tom, I've been itching to talk to you about this Mizzou win on the road. I mean, we talked about how tough the SEC is. And here you got Mizzou, who we knew had potential, goes on the road to Florida and beats them.
Yeah, you can't sleep in the SEC anytime. And Florida coming off probably an emotional couple of wins, the win at home over Tennessee, which was a great one for them. And then they went on the road and they beat Arkansas, which, although Arkansas is having a bad year, it's still tough to win on the road in the SEC, and they
Please
did that.
Repeat that again.
Arkansas is having a rough year.
Bad year.
Yeah. Don't worry about
With
it.
Calipari.
You're fine.
Yeah.
You're fine. Yeah. They go to Florida and they beat the number five team in the country, and it was not easy for Mizzou either. I mean, Mizzou cruised in the first half. I was watching the game. They looked unbelievable, but here come the Gators, and they made it a game, and Mizzou almost blew it. But they found a way to close it out, and they won it, 83-82. Great win for them. They've now beaten Kansas and Florida, and those are two great wins for their NCAA tournament resume. On the same day, Alabama, the number four team in the country after their great weekend. They hosted Ole Miss, and Ole Miss beat them by 10 down in Tuscaloosa. So just to show you, those things can happen very, very quickly. So this has been a really good league in the SEC, and Missouri is in the mix right now. I mean, in the SEC right now, they're sitting fifth with a record of 3-1. It's actually a four-way tie for third place. Now, things are going to get tough for them. They host Arkansas on Saturday. They go to Texas on Tuesday. And this Ole Miss team's for real. And they'll have to play them on Saturday the 25th. But, you know, every game in the SEC, like I said, you got to get ready for it. They're going to have a tough February, too, man. I'm looking at that schedule, too. They got to go to Mississippi State and Tennessee and play A&M and Oklahoma. I mean, it's like on and on it goes. Alabama comes to Columbia. So, yeah, it'll be tough.
It's going to be a bloodbath in the SEC. I mean, a lot of teams are going to have upsets. So how does Mizzou, not eke into the top 25 after a win over those programs that they've beaten so far?
I think they will have more votes and have a chance to get in. And after beating Florida, they should be considered for the top 25. They already had votes going in. So I would think that if they handle their business against Arkansas this weekend, and John Calipari's coming into Mizzou Arena, obviously hungry for an SEC road win, if they can hold them off, I think they will be ranked. Or at least, you know, will be right outside the top 25.
Well, I mean, knock on wood, Kentucky fans are not missing him yet. Can I just tell you that?
He had a great run there.
He did. He did. But the excuses were getting old. And I listened to somebody put together a montage of a couple of his last news conferences at Arkansas after their upset losses. And it all sounded eerily familiar to us and as Kentucky fans. Whereas this new guy just exudes enthusiasm, loves the program, loves the kids. And, you know, although they've lost to, Georgia and a few other teams like that, we're feeling good about it.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, Mark Pope is, you know, former Wildcat, and everybody loves the new guy. I mean, everybody loves the new guy, of course. Now, the first time that he has to face some adversity, we'll see how he handles it. But he's a very positive guy, came over from BYU, very successful there, and that's great. Calipari had a great run. I mean, he's still one of the great basketball coaches of his time.
Great recruiter.
He certainly has great enthusiasm for the game. I'll be curious to see what he builds down in Arkansas. I would not doubt him necessarily. I think, you know, with the money they have down there, the ability to put a roster together, he'll have the support. That's why he took the job. I mean, if he was going to leave Kentucky, it was going to be for somewhere where they could write checks for him.
They
can write checks down at Arkansas. They've got some big-time boosters down there.
They got some Walmart money down there,
don't
they?
That's right.
Yeah. I've been mentioning how the Cardinals winter warm-up kicks off on Saturday. I've actually never gone to that.
Yeah,
you've gone quite a bit.
I've been to all of them.
All of them.
But it's great. I mean, it's a baseball convention, so it's just about the history of the team and the current team and, you know, building the fan base, and everybody kind of comes back just to hang out and give their tribute to the team. But I think a lot of people will come into this one with some questions and really get into the Q&A with the front office and say, you know, what are we doing? I mean, what is this youth movement? What does this mean? What is a reset? And I think it'll be really good for the fans to be educated. And by the way, it is up to the team to do that. I mean, they need to be transparent about what they're doing and make sure that this fan base is on board with it. It's a great fan base, much like Kentucky basketball. Big, big fan base with a lot of passionate fans that are knowledgeable about the game, and they need to know what's going on, and you want them to be on board. You want to make them part of it. Look, they've done their job. I mean, they've shown up. They've spent the money. They've gone to the ballpark. They've made trips into St. Louis. Now they want to know, if I'm going to invest in this team further, what's my return on investment? So you've got to be able to tell them what this team's going to look like here in the next few years. And Heim Bloom is the best choice. You couldn't have picked a better person in Major League Baseball to build your minor league system back. And when they get it back, which shouldn't be too long, the Cardinals will be a machine again. But you've got to explain to them what's going on here.
Yeah.
And could the Cardinals be a playoff team? Everything would have to go right. That's about their ceiling, I think. A wild card playoff team, probably. I think, you know, the floor is that it doesn't work, but then they build it for 26. But I think that you've got to explain to the fans what this movement is, mm-hmm. who these people are that are putting it together, and let them answer questions.
Tom, I'm watching the clock. You got about a minute left.
Yeah, sure.
I won't be here Monday because I'll be in Washington, D.C.
All right.
So I don't get a chance
What's
to talk to you about
What's going on there? I forgot.
It's Martin Luther King Day.
Yeah.
What's your take on the National College Championship? Who are you picking on Monday night?
I've got Ohio State. I think they're a better team, but I think Notre Dame will cover the 9.5 points. I think it'll be a tighter game.
Wow, I'm surprised the spread's that big.
Yeah. I haven't looked at it recently if it's changed, but it opened at about 9, 9.5, and I think that's probably where it's going to stay. But Notre Dame, man, I wouldn't doubt them at any point. I mean, they've been great all year. All year long, they've been a team to deal with. It's down to 8.5, see?
Yeah.
I mean, it's starting to slip a little bit. I'd still take them plus 8.5. Notre Dame? Yeah. 9.5 to 8.5 tells you that everybody was putting money on Notre Dame. That's why that line moved. Vegas tries to move it to the middle so that they get action on both sides. So they're moving it a little bit to see if they can get a little more Ohio State love in the books.
Should be a great game. Buddy, thank you. I know you got to run.
Yeah, thanks, man. Great to see you guys.
We appreciate your time. Yeah, I don't know. I'll be rooting for Ohio State just because I grew up rooting for Ohio State.
I kind of want to root against them. I don't know why. I'd like Notre Dame to win.
Would you? Okay, well, then they might. They're a very talented team. I can't say enough about their coach, who was a linebacker for the Ohio State University in the mid-2000s. So he's now the head coach in Notre Dame. So I'm sure he wants to beat him badly because he used to play for them. But you know, in his heart of hearts, he loves Ohio State because he played football there. And now I've read rumors that he's being groomed or recruited by a couple of NFL teams who are interested in maybe bringing him up to coach the NFL because of the success he's had in his short coaching career so far. He's pretty young.
Isn't he 30s?
Yes. Yeah, he's like in his early 30s,
my age,
I think. Yeah.
Which is wild to think about that.
Yeah, he played at 2006, I think, is when he was a player for Ohio State. And now here we are 20 years later, and he's the head coach at Notre Dame.
Let's start a campaign to make people say the University of Missouri.
The Ohio State University. I don't know why that matters. I'll just say go Buckeyes. That's who I'll be rooting for. And apparently, if I'm not going to one of the balls, I'll be sitting in a bar in Washington, D.C. somewhere, maybe Alexandria, watching it.
And J.D. Vance?
What's J.D. got to do? He's going to be dragged around to three different balls that the president is attending on Monday night, and the vice president. While that Ohio State game is going on in the background, that's going to drive him crazy.
Oh, I'm probably sure he'll be watching.
He'll
it
have
on
a
his
Secret Service agent carrying his
SUV
phone around, so he's updating him right on the game as he jumps around for sure. He's got his hometown high school band marching in the parade on Inauguration Day. Should be a great time. All right, coming up, we're going to get to another news with Ethan next hour. Jim Talent, anxious to hear his take on not only the Hegseth confirmation hearings, Pam Bondi, and some of the others that happened, the Ratcliffe yesterday, all of them were great. I thought Marco Rubio did a great job. We'll see what Jim Talent's take is on who the most difficult one might be to get voted through in the U.S. Senate. We'll be back in just a minute.
Happening.
So you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news.
So I usually start with entertainment news, but I'm going to start with this one for Mark. Costco is known for its budget-friendly goods, but it occasionally surprises shoppers with rare finds like a bottle of exclusive 2024 King of Kentucky bourbon spotted by a Reddit user. The ultra-premium bourbon, celebrated for its rich flavors and limited availability, typically retails for $350, but Costco offered it at a significant discount of $260. Reddit commenters marveled at the discovery, noting the bourbon's rarity of only 5,100 bottles, which were produced in 2024, each featuring a wax seal and individually numbered label.
What bourbon was it?
King of Kentucky.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Have you ever heard of it?
I have not.
I thought you might
be
know
honest
that
with you.
That's how rare it is.
I guess it's that
only
rare.
5,000 bottles.
If they only make 5,000 bottles.
You must not be a big bourbon fan, Mark.
I must not. I don't know. I've not, honestly have never heard of that bourbon. That's weird to me that I have that in all of my bourbon excursions, I never would have come across that one.
Well, there you go. Look very out strange for it if you can find it.
Yeah, got to go to Costco now. Jeez.
All right, back to real entertainment, I guess. Drake has filed a lawsuit against Kendrick Lamar's music distributor, Universal Music Group, accusing them of defamation, harassment, and deceptive practices. He claims UMG released Lamar's diss track, Not Like Us, to harm his reputation, alleging the song includes false and damaging claims about Drake, such as accusations of sex trafficking and other criminal behavior.
Isn't it also, didn't I hear this morning, they both have the same publisher.
It's the yes same
he
record
sued
yeah
his record label
yep
because they released the other guy's record.
Is he friends with Diddy? Because the trafficking might not be too far-fetched.
I would not I be surprised so that their paths had crossed, but I don't know that for sure. I mean, musically, I don't know other than that. Don't sue me. I have no idea, but that's weird.
I was talking to Kevin over at Y98 about this. I'm like, isn't this the point of a diss track? Is to make you look bad.
Yeah.
So if he sues and wins, can Kendrick turn around and sue Drake?
Yeah, because Drake
it's
put out
same thing
retaliation songs.
Oh, okay. Like, interesting.
But Kendrick Lamar's songs were better.
Yeah. It got more downloads. It looks like MSNBC's president, Rashida Jones, announced she will step down after nearly 4 years of leading the network, becoming the first black woman to run a major television news outlet. Jones, who made history with her appointment in December of 2020, will remain in an advisory role until March. It looks like Rebecca Cutler, MSNBC's senior vice president of content strategy, has been named interim president.
So don't expect any changes at NBC News.
Probably.
They're trading out that woman for somebody from MSDNC to run the news division. You got to be kidding me.
Because the ratings are tanking?
Well, across the board, for goodness sake.
I heard Rachel Maddow is going to be back doing 5 days a week for the first 100 days of the Trump presidency.
Okay.
Because normally she was just doing Mondays.
She on Valium? She'll have to be on Valium to well, report on all the success for the first 100
it
days.
It screws Alex Wagner, who was doing Tuesday through Friday.
Oh.
So they're putting her on special assignment.
Yeah, I'll bet they are. That's funny.
Brad Pitt fans are being cautioned about scammers after a French woman lost $850,000 in her marriage to fraudsters impersonating the actor. The 53-year-old interior designer was targeted via Instagram, first by someone claiming to be Pitt's mother and later by a fake account claiming to be Pitt himself. The scammers convinced Anne, that's her name, that Pitt needed financial help for kidney treatment due to frozen bank accounts from his divorce.
Okay, no. I'm sorry, but
here we go.
You should know that Brad Pitt, first of all, has plenty of money. He probably doesn't need your help. And second of all, why would Brad Pitt reach out to a random woman in France
who
he doesn't even know?
I have not seen her.
There are, because she probably gave away all her savings or something. I don't know. I mean, that's not a good reason to divorce your spouse. I guess that's
she
it.
Did.
Yeah, she divorced her husband because she thought it was real.
Oh, she divorced him?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I read it too because I thought it was crazy. And there was something about you know what, Kim? His money was locked up.
Oh, that
because
you're right. That's
of his
legitimate then.
From Angelina Jolie. Mm. So he couldn't access it and he needed hers. The whole thing is just nuts.
Although,
wait a minute. Sue, you've read the story as well. Like, how old was this woman?
53.
She was 53.
Yep.
Is she stunningly beautiful?
No one knows. They don't put a picture
on it. Oh, I thought maybe somebody
and I'm not sure that's even, that's a good question.
I don't know. I just think that you would have to assume that if Brad Pitt is pursuing you, that there would have to be romantically, you'd have to think you're in the same league. I mean, I would think.
Okay, but he wouldn't just stumble across your page.
Correct.
Like, you would have to have already been communicating with him.
You're blaming her.
Okay,
there are
so many.
Oh, you
I am victim.
Blaming.
I guess I am victim blaming.
Because you can't fix stupid.
The scammer, trust me, scammers have almost gotten me. They are so creative these days. I get why people fall for it. But some of these things, I'm like, come on, guys.
Right.
You should know.
Ethan, how did they get introduced? I don't remember that part.
I'm not sure if it was on there that the one I read.
Okay.
It was saying that they were being sent. She saw him on Instagram, and it was using AI generated images of Pitt in a hospital bed.
Oh, that's what it was.
So yeah, they're sending pictures.
Oh my goodness.
Selfie of me with my IV. I need money, please. Ugh.
Don't believe anything you hear.
Just don't be dumb.
Or see.
Just don't be dumb.
So Angelina really isn't contacting me?
Okay. Probably not.
I thought I was good looking. Thanks, Mark.
That's not your vial of blood hanging around her neck there.
Gross.
Billy Bob.
That's just weird. Go
ahead. Coors Light is rebranding temporarily as Monday's Light to help ease the post-Super Bowl case of the Mondays. It's going to be a nod to the dreaded mood mini feel after the weekend. The limited edition 12-pack with the new name is available nationwide this month, and it's supported by ads calling the day after the Super Bowl the worst Monday of the year. The initiative comes as Molson Coors seeks to reinvigorate interest in Coors Light following the sales slump in 2024.
Yeah. You may need a silver bullet for more than one reason.
Why can't they make the Super Bowl at like 3 p.m.? Why does it always start? I mean, it's not super late, but I wish it were earlier.
It's over by 9:30.
That's late for me.
Yeah, we used to hate that. Zipper Zepper used to host
for
a big
kids,
Super Bowl
you know?
Party.
Like, people want to have their kids at the Super Bowl party sometimes, and that is late for them
and
to stay up.
For those of us having to get up at 0:30 and go to work the next morning, it always sucked. So
the NFL
I would agree. I'm all for it.
About
let's start
sleep
at 3.
Habits.
I know they don't.
They should.
I know they don't. All right, coming up, we got Jim Talent, and we're going to talk a little bit more about, remember the report out last week that alcohol will kill you? And then all the alcohol stocks dropped. Now there's another report out saying, hey, wait a minute. That could help in some cases. We're going to talk to a medical doctor about that coming up at about 7:35. And Jim Talent before that. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.